Hello, welcome to the Roundhouse Podcast. This is Paul Solentrop of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. Today we have Clevin Hanna of the Aftershocks. Clevin played basketball at Wichita State from 2008 to 2010. He averaged 11.6 points, 4.5 assists over his two seasons, shot 41.4% from three-point range, 82.2% from the line. He barely missed as a senior. I think he was about 90% as a senior at Wichita State. Clevin is from Holly Springs, Mississippi. He was an All-Missouri Valley Conference pick in 2010, helped the Shockers to the NIT. Clevin played the last two seasons for Morabank Andorra, in the top professional league of the Spanish Basketball League. Last season, he averaged 11.6 points and 3.3 assists. Clevin, take us through your professional basketball history a little bit. Where else have you played? What's that whole experience been like for you?
Man, it's been crazy experience, a long journey, man. I started my career in Romania in 2011. I played a half a season in Romania, and it was tough. It was tough. It was tough being far away from home. First time in Europe, you know, a poverty-stricken country. It was really difficult for me. It was a challenge, but I got through it. And the next season, I went to Finland. I played a full season there. That was a big change for me as well. It's snowing all the time. Get darks at 3 p.m. every day. So that was really, really challenging moment for me in my career. I didn't know if I wanted to keep playing or did I want to stop, because it just was just too much at that time. So stuck with it. The following season, I went to France, the second division of France, Pro B. Had a great season there. Then that's when I started to move up into the higher levels and make a little more money and stuff like that. I went to the top level in France. Had an okay season, and after that, in my fifth year, I went to Spain. And when I arrived in Spain, I loved it. I was in Barcelona, a club called Badalona. Got great history there. Ricky Rubio, Rudy Fernandez. A lot of top Spanish players come out of this club. So that was a really turning point in my career, I would say. I became a better player, learned a lot from the Spanish style of play. And been in Spain for the last 7 years now, so that's kind of been my deal.
I hear the pros from Wichita State talk about not being around family as being one of the big adjustment problems. Some of them talk about learning the new food and those kind of things. What is the big adjustment? What do you have to kind of get through to get comfortable?
Oh, yeah, it's really tough, really challenging, man, to be that far away from home, being a young person going that far away from home, not having your family, having no one to talk to after your games. You just got to come to an empty apartment. So I would say that's probably the biggest challenge, just being alone, being that far away from home, being alone, not having no one to talk to after your bad games and stuff like that. So I would say just being alone over there is really challenging.
Describe the routine for people. Is it similar to college basketball with, you know, a couple games a week and practice, or is it different?
It's similar. Like, for me, it's been very similar to college. You have a couple games a week, maybe two at the most. You might play on a Tuesday or Wednesday and then play on a Saturday or Sunday. So it's been, like, very similar to college for me. You wake up, on a game day, you wake up, you go have your team shoot around, your team lunch and all that, go rest a little bit and come back to the game. So we kind of did that here. So it's kind of similar to that.
What's the craziest atmosphere you've played in overseas?
Oh, they have some crazy ones, man. I'll say it'd probably be in Turkey, man. Turkey fans, Karşıyaka. It's in the top Turkish league. It's a well-known club in Europe. A lot of good players come through that club. DJ Kennedy, Bobby Dixon, DJ Strawberry. Many good players come through this club, but we played them in the Champions League game, and I just remember they was throwing, like, quarters on the floor at us. They was throwing shoes at us because we beat them, like, in a really close game, so it got a little crazy in there.
Now, your club plays in the Spanish League. Mm-hmm. It's actually located in Andorra, mm-hmm. which is a principality, mm-hmm. I learned today.
Yeah.
Tell us about Andorra. What's it like living and working in that place?
Man, it's a really beautiful place, many mountains, snow all the time, but it's very scenery, beautiful mountains and stuff like that, and very small country in between Spain and France, so it's its own country, and that's where a lot of people come to start businesses, because it's like the tax benefits living in this country.
Right.
So a lot of people from Spain and France come here to start their business and build their families and stuff like that. But it's a really small, really beautiful place. Me and my family, we're grateful to be there for a third season this coming up year. And my kids love it. They love their school. And my wife loves it just because it's small. It's not so big. And we can, like, walk to the grocery store, walk to the gym, walk to the game. Like, it's just kind of close and compact like that. So it's really nice for me and my family. We like it.
So three seasons with one club, you found some stability that a lot of guys don't. What is it about this club that really works for you and your family?
Well, I got great history with the Spanish League, and the coach from this club was my coach at Murcia. So we kind of built a relationship. We had a good year together in Murcia. Then he went there. He played a year. He had a great year before I came. I went to Gran Canaria, and then I had a good year in Gran Canaria, and he kind of wanted me to come back, and we signed a long-term deal, and it's been good for me ever since.
You mentioned your family. You just have a new addition. Take the people through your family. You live in Mays during the off season. Tell us about the kids.
Okay, yeah, definitely. I've been living in Wichita ever since I've been here. I haven't really left. I've been here since 2008. Since 2008, I've been here, and got a wife, my wife, Kaylin. She's from Kingman. Met her here at Wichita State my senior year. She was a freshman. So, and we've been together. We had our first child. She's 10 now, Kalia. We had our second, who's 6, is Carson. He's 6, and we just had our last baby, like 12 days ago. That's Cannon. Cannon was just born here at Wesley down the street. So yeah, Wichita is home for me, and just happy to be a part of the community in Wichita, have the opportunity to always see familiar faces like yourself, Paul. Come up here, check the guys, be able to see those guys at any time, be able to come talk to IB at any time, and just be around, still around my old school, my old stomping grounds. It's really good for me, and I'm really, really happy to still be here in Wichita.
Excellent. Congratulations. So the older two, are they basketball players? You already got them out there. What's their athletic interest?
Well, my daughter, she's an artist, so she likes to draw and dance and sing and stuff like that. And my son actually loves the game. He come to all my games. He watch all my games. He watch all the NBA Finals games. He loves Steph Curry. So he's into it. He's into it big time. He got a chance to work with Fred a little bit while he was here. So that was big for him. So he was really excited about that.
Excellent. How fun. Your professional career, what's the highlight? What's the big moment that you think about?
Okay. My professional career, my biggest moment would probably be I had many big moments, Paul. But I'll probably just think of one. I'll probably say making it to the Final Four of the Champions League. It's like another league outside of your domestic league. So in Spain, we play against all those 18 teams. And then you got the Champions League. You got Euro Cup. And then you got Euro League, which is Connor's going to the top level of basketball in Europe this season.
Right.
I played there one season with Gran Canaria. I played many Euro Cup seasons. I'll be playing that again this year. And then it's the third competition, which is Champions League, which is also a good competition. It's continuing to grow. A lot of top teams coming to this competition. So I made it to the Final Four of this competition. And now with Mercy, with that coach, who's my coach now in Andorra. So that was probably my biggest moment of my my pro career, just going to Greece and playing against Ike, some top players over there. Had Manny Harris and many good players that I played against in that Champions League tournament. So that was probably my biggest moment.
That's my next question. Who's the best player you've played against overseas?
For me personally, I would have to say Mike James. Big time scorer. Him or Facu Campazzo, who plays for Denver now.
Right. And Mike James is with the
Brooklyn Nets. Yeah, both of those guys.
Right.
Those would be probably my top two. top two players I ever played against, those two guys. My hardest battles was with those two.
Those are two good ones.
Those really, really two good ones.
How much longer do you want to play? Have you thought about that?
I am, man. I'm thinking about it more and more every year. You know, just got to go off your how you feel, how your body feel and stuff like that. But as of now, I was thinking I'll play this year and maybe two more. So finish around 36, 37, just try to fight through a couple more years and try to go do something special, because a lot of players don't get to win championships and stuff. I had a friend, a guy who plays in Spain. His name Omar Cook. You probably know him. He's a really good player. He's like 38, 39, 40 maybe. And he just won his first championship this season. And he's been playing for 20 years. So, man, that's the goal. I want to win a championship. I would love to get one of those under my belt before I retire. And that's my goal in the next 3 years, to try to get a championship.
What's the experience like for the children going to school in Spain?
They love it. So far, they've grew tremendously with their vocabulary, speaking Spanish.
Yeah.
Just learning new things, growing up around Spanish kids, French kids, German kids. They got many different kids that go to their school, so because it's like an international school that they go to. So it's I think it's really been beneficial for them. My daughter can speak almost fluent Spanish. My son can speak really good, so I think it's been tremendous for him.
Yeah, that's great. That's great. Yeah. After basketball, what's next?
Man, that's a good question. Thinking about that also, man. Really, I would love to get into coaching if it's possible. So that's definitely a thing that I'm trying to work on as I come back here and be around these guys and talking to the coaches here and talking to all my old coaches who have went on with Jans and Greg Heyer, and just keeping good relationships and continuing to learn more about the game as I play. And then after I'm done, I would love to come back and pass that knowledge and pass that on to younger guys who want to go on and do what I did.
So we met in 2008. This is the kind of thing I remember, you may not. Mm-hmm. After probably wasn't the best timing on my part. Chipola was playing in the national tournament in Hutchinson. Chipola lost, but I was there to bug you anyway, ask you questions about coming to Wichita State, that kind of thing.
Okay.
Take us back to that time. What brought you to Wichita State from Chipola Community College?
Oh, man. Well, first I would say I was college teammates, junior college teammates with Ramon Clemente. That was a great friend of mine. I knew how he was. I knew he was a leader. He was a fighter, a good player. So once I saw that he came, I was already interested. And I think Coach Marshall came to watch him play. And JUCO one time came to watch us play pickup there in Texas. And he saw me and he got interested in me. And then he started to talk to his coaches and tell them he liked me. And then Coach Jans was here, who was also a coach at Chipola, where I transferred to the next season, who was also good friends with Greg Heyer, who was my coach at Chipola. So that kind of connection, that's how it all folded into me coming here. It was Coach James and Coach Heyer and Greg Marshall liking me and Ramon being one of my teammates. So it was kind of like an in-house deal. It was a no-brainer for me, actually.
And so you were teammates with Ramon at Paris.
At Paris.
Remember that, right? Paris, Texas, Junior College. Right. Okay. Okay, so you get here in 2008, that 08-09 team, 17-17. I think you can things start turning in the right direction. Really talented freshmen, Trey Murray, Garrett Stutz, David Kiles. Gabe Blair is here sitting out as a redshirt.
Yep.
Tell us about your role as, you know, you were the point guard, you were an experienced guy, you're kind of shepherding, leading that group into college basketball. Tell us your role on that team.
Well, at that time, I was still a little immature, didn't really know the magnitude of what was really going on, coming from junior college to Division I basketball, not really knowing the history of the club and everything. So coming in, I'll say I probably was a little immature, didn't really understand what was going on, but I grew quickly to learn that this is big boy basketball. This is, you got to follow the rules, you got to be where you're supposed to be on time and all that stuff like that. So it was a little transition period for me, but once I got through it, I'll say the second half of my junior season, I probably got better as a better leader, following Ramon's lead and stuff like that. So going into that team, I would say just immature and stuff like that, and that's probably what was my biggest transition going into my senior year, just understanding what was going on, and I think it showed from my junior year to my senior year. that I really took it serious and I really started to focus and lock in and become a leader my senior year.
Yeah, that really showed up. That 2009-10 team, that's when Shocker fans really start to see the direction that things are going. That team went 25-10. Yep. They beat Iowa and Kansas City. They beat TCU. Texas Tech was number 16. They came in here. Wichita State defeated them. Yep. They beat number 20 Northern Iowa. Shockers went 12-6 in the Valley that year. Went to the MVC tournament title game and played in the NIT. That was all basically this program's most success since 2006. What do you remember about that team that season? What made that bunch go?
Man, I knew we had a really mature team. We had JT Durley, who's been here for many years, a couple years. We had Gabe Blair, who was a sit-out red shirt, who came in, who's played at East Carolina, I think, who was an immature guy. Who was a mature guy who led us, helped lead us. So we had, we had upperclassmen who really led the ship. Me, I got a lot better my senior year, I feel. Became a better leader, and I had a lot of young, hungry guys, and Teray Murray, Gary Stutz, who also got better from their freshman to their sophomore years, David Cowles. We had Graham Hatch, who's also a mature guy, and so that year right there was really big for us, man.
Good year for the Shockers, really a turning point. Favorite moment as a Shocker, what stands out, and what's a memory that pops to your mind?
Favorite moment as a Shocker, that is tough. That is tough, Paul. I would have to say probably... I had a couple big moments, man. I think Teray hitting that shot my junior year, he had a big shot to beat, I think, Missouri State.
Right, he had a couple buzzer beaters, yeah. I think, early in the Valley season. Yeah, Evansville and Missouri State, maybe?
Yeah,
he beat
Missouri State. I think that was one of the biggest moments. That was a great feeling to beat those guys. I don't know, man. Probably making the all Valley team. I know that was a big accomplishment for me. First team all conference MVC was probably my biggest moment, man. I was really happy about that. The club, the school was really happy for me, so that was a really big moment.
That was a big moment. It had been a while. I think Paul Miller in 06 had been the previous Shocker to make it, so there had been a little bit of a drought. All right, let's wrap it up with a little bit about the aftershocks. What do you get out of this experience? Why do you do this?
Man, for me, it's just the experience, man, to have him play here and come back and play with these younger guys, man, and Marcus McDuffie. Zach Brown, Rashard Kelly. These are all guys who are having upcoming careers overseas who I've seen play here at Wichita State. So Connor, to play alongside these guys, is I'm very grateful for the opportunity, and just because I never would have had the opportunity to play with these guys. And I'm just grateful for that opportunity to be able to play with these guys, be able to sit on the bench with Ron Baker and Fred VanVleet behind me, and Landry Shaman, and Clee Anthony Early, and Teray Murray all in the gym supporting us. It's just a really big family-oriented program, and I'm just really happy to be a part of it.
Thank you for listening to the Roundhouse Podcast, courtesy of Wichita State University Strategic Communications. We appreciate your time. We encourage you to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, such as on iTunes or Google Play. You can find more Roundhouse content at GoShockers.com. Thank you for listening.
And they let him pass it up court, and then it gets picked off. A long three by Pangos, no good. 1 second, it's over. It is over, and Wichita State has beaten the number one team in the nation to go to the Sweet 16. Go crazy, Wichita. I know you are.